chapter 1 from Joshua 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. I wonder if the name Donald Rumsfeld stirs any memories from sort of 10, 15 years ago. He was a Secretary of State in, I think, one of the Bush administrations in the United States. He was much mocked, dear man, for coming out with a phrase at critical time about talking about the known knowns, the known unknowns, the unknown unknowns, etc. Does this ring any sort of bell? He was trying to look at the uncertainties of the political situation. And he made this remark about the known knowns, the known unknowns, and the unknown unknowns. And all of us face an element of the unknown about what lies ahead. I don't need to elaborate on that at a national level, but individually, the truth is that none of us knows what the future may hold tomorrow, this time next week. For some of us, they're known unknowns. We're perhaps in the middle of changing job, perhaps there's a health issue, we're not quite sure. We know what the nature of the issue is, but we're not quite sure how things are going to develop. And indeed, for some of us, as we grow older, it is issues of health, of perhaps the need to move. Again, we simply don't know what the future holds. But the question for me, the question for each of us, as we walk into the unknown, is how shall we walk? Do I walk with a heart of fear, or do I seek to walk with a heart of faith and courage? Or putting it another way, will I focus on my fears, looking inside, or will I focus on God and his promises? I think we need to remind ourselves that we are in a spiritual battle. I come from a generation which grew up with C.S. Lewis and the Screwtape Letters. Does that ring a bell to some of you? And of course, C.S. Lewis, brilliantly captured the reality of the spiritual battle, and that the enemy seeks to focus us away from God. He's always seeking to sort of bend our head downwards and to look internally. And God calls us to look up to him, and to focus on him and his word, and to see the challenges, not to ignore the challenges, but to see the challenges in the light of his promises. As I drove up this morning from the little village of Kings Nympton, where I live, I was astonished to see coming down the A361 some sunshine. Just remarkable. Don't know what it's been like up in Barnstaple, but round us, it sort of felt like midnight at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And as for the state of the lawns and the grass, we just won't go there. But this first reading, our reading that we've had of Joshua, reminds us of somebody facing massive challenges and who had every reason to feel daunted and overwhelmed. But the drumbeat that comes through the word of the Lord as he speaks to Joshua is, you will know it by heart, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. He says to his servant Joshua three times, be strong and of good courage. And then just to add the point, or to make the point, he adds, do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Two different things there, isn't it? Terrified is something which sort of grips us by the throat and we sort of feel we can hardly breathe, that I'm really terrified of what the future might hold or whatever. Discouraged is more that steady grinding down by circumstances, and our heads drop and we just feel more and more dispirited. And it's fair to say that God makes this point three times in six verses, he underlines this message. We need to recognize that Joshua had very good reason to be daunted by the challenges that lay ahead, because Moses, that towering leader who had led the Israelites out of Egypt and kept them together throughout the 40 years in the wilderness, he has died. He is gone. And some of the key challenges that Joshua faces are the fear of failure, the fear of inadequacy. Will I be good enough? Will I cope? That can be quite a question sometimes when we're facing challenging circumstances. Just the sheer fear of being overwhelmed. Then there was the fear of other people's reactions, fear of rejection. How was the people going to respond? They'd been familiar with their leader for 40 years. Would they accept Joshua's authority, or would they constantly hark back? And then the fear of external challenges, the fear of opposition. Because we know that Joshua was facing serious opposition externally. All the hostile tribes in Canaan, the odds seemed stacked against him. And so the fear is, will I actually manage to keep my head above water? Or will I simply sink? Now, God knows Joshua's heart. He knows that Joshua is faithful and obedient. But the Lord knows that the biggest challenge for Joshua is not the enemies that lie ahead, but the fear within. That is the biggest challenge for Joshua. And so the Lord speaks directly into Joshua's heart, into his situation. Take heart. Take heart. I wonder for you, what are the challenges that you're facing today as you look ahead? What makes you feel fearful? What makes you wonder, can I cope? I know if I take a personal example, my wife and I, after living in a particular house where we've been very happy for 10 and a bit years, we know the time has come, which many of you have heard, it's the dreaded word, downsizing. And there's all the question about looking into the future, you know, the selling, but where is it right to be going? And I confess that my heart quails at the sheer upheaval of it all. My wife has made good progress with clearing the rest of the... Sorry, there is one black spot, which is my study, which is going to need serious attention at some point. But I have begun. But it is, what is it? Leaving my frivolity aside, some of you will be facing far, far deeper challenges. What is it that God calls you to bring to him today and to take heart? And God doesn't, you see, just say to Joshua, okay, come on, Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Don't be a wimp. Just look into your mirror each morning and in your tent and repeat after me, I will be strong. I will be courageous. 3 times, or if that's not working, 10 times. No, God gives Joshua 2 precious foundations for being strong and of good courage. The first, I'm sorry to all good evangelicals among us, I'm afraid there are only 2 points to this, not 3. But I encourage you to hang in there for the 2, even though it's obviously very defective. The first is that God reminds Joshua of his presence in the past, of how God has been with him in the past. And he reminds him of his promises for the future. First, he promises his presence with Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Joshua had seen how God had led Moses and the people through the wilderness, how he'd provided for them. Remember the provision of the manna, the water from the rock, and even despite the grade A grumbling that the Israelites specialized in. That sense of God's provision and presence in the past. And then the promise, he will never forsake us or abandon us. I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you. And again, for those of us who wonder what the future holds, for those of us who perhaps might this morning be saying, where are you, God, in my circumstances? The truth that God wants you to hear this morning is that God has not forgotten you. He will never leave you nor abandon you. Sometimes we're conscious of his presence, other times not. But the reality is, like that strange yellow object I spotted on the A361 this morning, that above the clouds, above the gloom, the sun is there. God is there, and he has not forgotten us. For the Lord your God, says God to Joshua, the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Emmanuel, God with us. And today, Jesus walks with us. Let me just finish with this. I mentioned about God's reminder of presence and of the promises for the future. But the second of my only 2 points is God tells Joshua to hold fast to his word. He says in verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. I was reminded of that vividly earlier this morning. I had been wrestling with a particular issue. And I'd woken in the night, and I was sort of thinking about this issue, and kept me awake for a little bit. And it was a struggle about which way to go in a particular issue. And then, as so many of us have experienced so often, open up my daily reading this morning. And I thought, oh, shucks. Yes, Lord, I was trying to ignore this. But of all the different readings, he just was straight on my case. Just not lovingly turning me back and saying, James, I know you could think up 23 excuses in the next 30 seconds. For not taking this course of action. But this is the choice I want you to make. This is the choice I want you to make. Hold fast to his word. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Hold fast to his word. I'll finish with one story. I love the story of John Patton, a missionary, a very, very courageous missionary, to cannibal islanders in a remote part of the South Pacific in the 1800s. And he survived many adventures, and his desire was to translate John's gospel into their language. But he discovered that there was no word in their language that he could find for faith or belief or trust. And so one day when his native servant came in, Patton was sitting on his chair, and he was in his normal sort of position with feet resting on the ground and posterior resting back like that. And this time he leant back in the chair and he took both feet off the ground so that all his weight was pressing down on the chair. And he said, "What is it I'm doing now? What word do you use for that?" And the servant said, used a word which, as Patton discussed it with him, the word meant, "I lean my whole weight upon." What Patton was doing was he wasn't sort of compromising, in a sense, by having some weight down through the feet on the floor and the other on the chair, just in case the chair didn't hold him. But he was trusting himself completely to the chair. He was leaning his whole weight upon the chair. And that, some of you may know the story, but that is the word that was in that particular dialect was used in the translation of John's Gospel, and indeed in the New Testament, for faith. And the question I find for myself so often is, Lord, am I leaning my whole weight upon you? Or am I consciously or unconsciously trying to keep sticking my feet back on the floor? And Lord, I trust you for this, but you know, plan B, contingency planning, all that very sensible stuff. But no, the Lord encourages us to lean our whole weight upon him. We're going to move into a song which I find, particularly when one is facing challenges, is certainly spoken powerfully to me. It's that lovely song with the chorus, "Christ alone, cornerstone." And there's a particular verse in it, "When darkness seems to hide his face." And many of us will have known times when darkness seemed to hide the face of Jesus. "When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil." My anchor holds within the veil. Let's worship God.